الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. This month of Ramadan, particularly in the fasting and the great ibadat of fasting and Quran Sharif, Allah has prescribed for us, and Allah Himself has said what the object of it is, that we acquire taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Or in other words, to acquire to make our islah, tazkiyah. Or more simple, to reform ourselves, to regain our spiritual health. If we have lost our physical health, we know what our condition becomes. If we have lost our money, we know what happens. If we lose our home, lose our family, we know what it is like. So if we have lost our spiritual health, and now if we can regain it again, this is an abstract thing, therefore our minds don't really go to it, we don't register, it doesn't make sense to many of us that I have to make my islah, I have to reform myself. But if we can understand it, just like a person, if his physical health is impaired, how important and what great importance is given. For the eyes, if there is a problem with the eyes, then how much the family will be prepared to sell the jewelry also, that you go for operation, you go to this part of the world, a famous doctor there for eyes, for any other things, so much we will spend. But the eyes that are spiritually wrong, and we are looking at wrong things, that forget anyone else, we ourselves are not prepared, we are not acknowledging it also. And then to correct it, we are also not worried. And we won't make any sacrifices to correct it. If our tongue is not right, if we just start a bit stuttering, or we feel that our tongue, it's not moving freely, there's something wrong, we will immediately be worried about it. We will go for treatment for it. In the ears, if we are not hearing properly, we will spend huge amounts on the test, on hearing aids, perhaps operations also, all that we will do. But hearing the haram and enjoying listening to music. On our cell phone, we got a musical tone as a ringtone, but our thought also doesn't go. And we are so sick. So all this is the month really. It's further throughout the year, and it should be done all the time. But when Allah has given us this month, and for us that Allah has made it possible, we came here with that intention to get ourselves spiritually corrected. And the other thing, the other aspect which comes automatically with that, nisbat with Allah Ta'ala, to build that contact with Allah. When a person wants to get married, and if he has a particular girl in mind, then he will think of how many people he can get who can influence and let those people say yes, that the girl must agree that he must get married. He will make so much du'as for that also. For we want a business, a certain shop, we will make so much effort for that. Whatever we do, and just to have connection with Allah Ta'ala, that is the biggest connection. And in fact, really, Allah make us muwahideen, to people of tawheed. This is the only connection which we need. Once we got the connection with Allah, we don't need any other connection. Allah, whatever connections we need, Allah will make those connections. If we take it from the bottom, the connection with the mashayikh, the ahlullah, the true people who will connect us with Allah. Allah will connect us with them. And through this, right through till Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will give us that connection. And all the other connection of namaz, Allah will give us. And namaz, salat, is what a great connection with Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So Allah give us the tawfiq that we spend our time correctly and we endeavor in this direction, that we make our islah. And once the glass is clean, the glass, the container of the heart, then we won't have to ask Allah to come in. The minute it is clean, Allah comes in Himself. If a glass is dirty outside, we were eating and we took the hand and we caught the glass, and the marks of food, which is not dirt, those marks are on the outside, then we don't want to drink from that glass the second time, that this is a dirty glass. We ourselves don't want to drink. Somebody else, they will more or less, well, they want to drink from that glass. And then if the glass has to be dirty inside, then who will want to drink from there? If we just find a little piece of dirt, we'll throw away the whole glass of water because it's now not good enough for us. So the heart which is dirty inside, how will Allah, who is absolutely pure, Subhan, how will Allah come into that glass? We just have to purify this glass, and then we don't even have to make dua. We don't have to give an invitation to Allah to come in the heart. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. That once that is done, then Allah will come Himself into that heart. And once Allah comes into the heart, and how beautifully our ulama have explained, for our islah, Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali of Allahabad explained from the ayat of the Quran Sharif, that when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had given Dawud to Bilqis that she must accept Islam, etc., he wrote her a letter and he invited her towards Islam. She made mashura with her courtiers in her parliament, what should we do? Then she said at that time in that discussion, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا, that the kings are such that when they enter a city, a town, a place, a country they're going to conquer, they cause a lot of destruction. The bombing that takes place, how things are bombed, etc., and there's cases of them, rape that takes place, plundering that takes place, murder that takes place. So this is the condition. So she thought Sulaiman alayhi salam is also a king like the kings of the dunya. But of course he was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, example he gives, that kings, when they enter a place, all who are their opposition, they destroy, they kill all their opposition. So you just bring Allah into your heart. Allah conquers your heart. Then Allah will remove all his opposition. Whoever, pride is the opposition of Allah. Kufr, shirk, nifaq, bid'at, all these things are the oppositions of Allah. Allah will get rid of them. And then Allah will control that heart. Like the country, that the king or the army that enters, they control now. Like that Allah will control. And when Allah controls your heart, your battle is not half won, it's fully won. And you don't have to do anything. So we just have to clean our heart. One measure which we can use, whether we are progressing or not, which is a very practical measure for our deen, during these days also, in our whole life, is the measure of namaz, salat. We all have learned, we went to maktab, we learned, Fajr is 4 rakats of namaz. So check ourselves on that. Am I making, now we are here in the i'tikaf, we are in the masjid, we have got no other occupation, we have freed ourselves, and that's also Allah's shukr. Allah gave us the tawfiq, it was not we did it. Now we are here just for the ibadat of Allah. So see my Fajr, each one of us, give ourselves marks on this. And see where do I rate that my Fajr 2 sunnahs, am I making them on time or not? Am I making them before Fajr or am I making it rushing just to get the salam of the imam? Just to get the tashahud of the imam? I must make my 2 sunnahs in such a way that it's in the time of Fajr. That's also very important. Make sure that the tahajjud time is finished. It's the time for Fajr, whether you make it before Adhan, after Adhan, but you make it in the time of Fajr. And then that you have made it in such a way that you get your fajr with takbir-e ula. So check ourselves on that. We all have learned that Zuhr namaz is 12 rakat. But it normally happens as we become alims and we learn. Then now we learn that Zuhr is 10 rakat. So now we have discarded the two, that's nafal. So our ilm's barakat was to decrease our knowledge. Or a person becomes now, he's an ordinary person like, he's making his 12 rakats. But now he mixes with the pious people. Even if we're going out in Jamaat, now with the pious people, now we learn Zuhr is 10 rakats. No, Zuhr is 12 rakats. We should make that 12. And the ulama who have formulated this, they have done it with deep research in the hadith. And it is of absolute necessity that we make it according to that. Then my four sunnat e muakkada, am I making them before Zuhr in such a time that I get my takbir e ula? Or again, am I making it and I'm missing one, two rakats of namaz? Or is it, have I become habitual that I make it after the namaz? And then we ask the masala, that if I miss my four sunnats of Zuhr, which has become a habit, then after faraz of Zuhr, must I make my two sunnats first, or my four? This opportunity shouldn't come arise that we have to ask. Make it always before. If sometimes an emergency, it's a different thing. But we have become habitual. And this I'm speaking of the group that we regard ourselves as pious people, as namazi, that I may namazi. And in fact, that I may sahibe tartib. All my namazes are in order. I haven't got qaza namazes also. This is our condition, that our four sunnats of Zuhr, mostly we are making afterwards, or we're making it and missing one, two rakats, or at least takbir-e ula we are missing. We should, and this criteria is not that we are pious. This is the basic duty of a person. To become pious, then we make ishraq, chasht, awwabin, salatul hajar, salatul istikhara, all those namazes we make. Then a person can go in the category of, this is the being a Muslim, having the title of Muslim to qualify for that. This is a basic requirement for that. So our four sunnats we should make before. Our four with the imam. From takbir-e-ula right through till salam. And this we are still not discussing all the postures of namaz and the inside. The khushu, khudu, the inside of namaz, concentration. That we still not discussing. Just the presence of present being in namaz. And then after that the two sunnat-e-mu'akkada. And then the two nafals also we should read. We shouldn't discard them unless there are reasons. But otherwise they are meant to be read. They are not meant to be just learned and just to be written. And that we are not in our reading. So much so that we will find commonly good people, men also, women also, jamaat, out of jamaat, going in safar, in khanqa, anything. We're making our zuhr, two rakats for us, the ladies, and then just sitting around, doing absolutely not even reading tasbih. And there is no rush of the journey. We are not going ahead, and we are just at the one place. Now the phone will come out, now we'll start chatting. But what about our namazes? We should read them properly when we have got the time. Asr, the four sunnats. These four sunnats are known as the king of sunnats. This is the sunnat which is not mu'akkada, but in that category it is the king of all the sunnats. The sunnats of Zuhr, of Asr, have got great, great value. We should ask ourselves, am I making? One good friend of ours, very close and very open and close. One time we mentioned this in his masjid, and then he said that now I realize I'm the imam in the masjid. And I regard, and he's a lot of fikr and a pious person. But he says, I realize today I never make my four sunnats of Asr. And I come into the masjid, I'm the imam. And I just at that time, that when it's 5 o'clock, for example, Jamaat, I step onto the imam's musalla. Whereas we should be making those four sunnats. We all learn Asr is 8 rakats. Now, where did we drop the four rakats? And we're only making the four. If you should make it a point, I must make my four sunnahs of asr also. Then my four faras, that should be done, of course. And if we're going to look after all these namazes, then we will see our faras we will look after. Otherwise, we will find our faras, we are missing one, two rakat. Just make it in time with salam with the imam. So, and we know the masalas. If you got your salam with the imam, you got the imam. You got your sawab of jama'at. And like if you took a qasam, I'm going to make namaz with jama'at. All those masalas we will know. But the practical means that we should be from takbir-e-ula right through till the end. Maghrib, seven rakats we all learned. We should make the seven, not five. Make the seven rakats. Isha, 17 rakats. And it is 17 rakats we should make. And we shouldn't cut. Now what is, as we gain knowledge, Isha is 9 rakats. 4 faras, 2 sunnati muakkada, 3 witr. And the more we come into deen, when we are just like ordinary people, we're making 17. But as we acquired more closer to deen, we made it 9. No, it shouldn't. And Ramadan comes, it should be said, Ramadan is the time to increase our ibadat, not to decrease. Increase the 20 rakats of Tarawih. And how beautifully somebody said, a person is the closest to Allah Ta'ala, wa huwa sajid, and he's in sajda, he's in closest. And the love of Allah, if we make our namazes, the love of Allah will come. So, and the greatest closeness in this love of Allah is when you are in sajda. So Allah made it for Ramadan, 17 rakats of our normal Isha, plus 20 of our Tarawih, 37 rakats, 2 sajdas in every rakat, 74 times Allah wanted to make love to us. And the closest love Allah wants to make. Now other people went and make it 8 rakats, Tarawih, and now some 10 rakats, new stories are coming out. Where the 10 rakat comes out, the 8 rakats also, this 8 rakat also was not really the Salafis, the Ahle Hadith of India and Pakistan. And they exported it and brought it to Saudi and the Arab countries also. Otherwise it was everywhere, Tarawih, 20 rakats. And Allah made it that we come the closest to Allah. And after you recited, heard Quran Sharif, the whole Quran Sharif, how the love letter. As Mala Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Ali said, Quran Sharif is a love letter which Allah has sent. And when you get a love letter from your beloved, you read it with so much care and with so much enthusiasm and passion. And you enjoy reading it. And you read it again and again. This is the love letter of Allah. And after that, you make love to Allah. And Allah's love is Subhan, pure love. No impurity in that love whatsoever. In the thoughts, in everything, a complete pure love. And Allah gives you the opportunity of 74 times to come close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So we should look, so we should check our namazes on this. That how much where do I rate with this namaz? And everyone, hasibu anfusakum, take our own stock. And we Qiyamah Day we will be told also, اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيب. So each one of us see, and then see where am I as far as my Islam. If our namaz is correct, and then if we are to check how much of deen have we got in our lives, see how much is my namaz in order. If namaz is there, our deen will be in order. If deen is in order, Allah makes our dunya also come right, makes our akhirat also come right. Hey, when namaz is corrected. In the time of Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, on one occasion, they were having meals, and there was a common trend, I don't know now how it is, but when we were also at the markaz, that when we sit and eat, our system is that the water jug glasses are on the dasturkhan, on the table. Anyone who wants, he pours himself, or somebody nearby just pours and gives it to him. But there the system was, the person for water, they had one person, he should walk around with glasses in his hand and a jug. Anyone who wants water, they just make him a sign, look at him, and he pours and he gives them water. That was the system. So anyway, this person who was giving the water, the glass fell from his hand. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali looked up at him and told him, looks like your namaz is still not correct. In other words, if your namaz was correct, this glass should not fall. If your namaz was correct, then it shouldn't be that I put my key in the wrong place and the whole day I'm looking for my keys. I'm looking for this. This is not right. That is, if namaz is right, our deen will come right, our dunya will come right. We are worried of correcting our dunya, but we're not worried of correcting our namaz. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Namaz will correct everything. All our fahsha and munkar, we want to, a snake, if you want to kill it, once we are walking to a masjid where snakes are common in that place. So our host, we were walking and a long snake, which I myself didn't notice. It was Isha type. It was walking across the pathway. He had this beach tong, the sandal. He just took it out and gave it a soft knock on the head and the snake died. So that is how really you kill a snake. You just tip it also. On the head it dies. But if we were annari, ignorant, you can catch it by the tail or in the middle, that snake will come and bite you. And you will suffer the consequences terribly. So we should know how to do it. So we also, all our islah, we are doing it, we are catching it from here and there. Just catch it at the right place. Just make our namaz correct. Work on our namaz. Namaz in turn will correct us completely. And we will come right. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. That and sometime we'll have a more discussion on namaz. That's a whole separate discussion which is very, very important also, that we should pay attention. And what better time can there be in Ramadan than the last ashara? We have freed ourselves. We are just here. No, nothing to stop us really. No, there is no question really. It should be of a phone call of somebody coming to see us or anything. Or any other thing, we have freed ourselves, so make our namazes come in order. And then see how our deen will come in. And with that, our akhirat also is made. If namaz is made, our akhirat is also made. So anyway, with regard to rozas, that we have to keep our rozas and every part of the body. Briefly, we discussed about rozas of the eyes, of the tongue, of the ears, the mind and the heart. And then the food that we eat, that we should see that is also halal and tayyiba. Then a sixth very important point, ulama write, that to keep our rozas and to correct it, is that after having kept the roza and observing the roza, all the commandments of deen, that no holier than thou attitude comes into us. That I think I'm very pious now. I kept my rozas. Now I kept my 30 rozas full and I kept them properly, and now I feel that I am pious, and I look down upon others that who haven't kept rozas, for example. Or if Allah gave the tawfiq, I kept my rozas, no bad biting, no nothing, looking at any haram with the eyes, no listening to music or bad biting, nothing. And now I just feel also, I don't look down on anyone, that I did it. I'm there. That I kept my rozas, my Ramzan, I observed it. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, the worst namaz of a person is that when he thinks, I made a perfect namaz today. To measure us also with our namaz and with our Ramzan and our Islah. If a person feels that this was my best Ramzan till today, and at the same time he realizes, not feels, he realizes it is still imperfect, and I've still got a long way to go, this person is progressing, and this person will benefit, that this was my best namaz so far I read in. Every namaz should be Salatim Muwadda'in, my last namaz of my life. So I should try and do it like that. And I should feel that this was the best namaz of my life. If I'm going back 10 years for quality of namaz, then I'm going backwards. And at the same time I realize this namaz of mine also is totally imperfect. and I've still got a very long way to go. This person is really going to progress. So Allah Ta'ala make it that our rozas also, after keeping the roza, observing the month of Ramadan, and then we realize that I'm still an absolute nothing. My rozas I didn't keep properly. My tilawat was not properly. The adab and etiquette of Quran Sharif I did not observe. At the same time also, try and make this habit. It will help us tremendously. Whenever especially we make khatam of Quran, if we can do it more often, better. But at least whenever we make khatam during the year, any time, then give some sadaqah also. That for all our little be'adabi of the Quran Sharif, that we didn't hold it properly with adab, for all that we should give some sadaqah. And this I learned from one time. We were just leaving the madrasa, going home just at the gate, and two students were fighting. And they didn't appear to be like pious students or fighting students. So, and in the process they mentioned that the one student dropped the other student's Quran Sharif while they were arguing and then fighting. So he said, yes, I admit that. And I kept one day's roza kafara for dropping, for having the Quran Sharif dropped. So we also, with the adab of the Quran, who can fulfill? We can't fulfill it. So if we give some sadaqah, inshallah, that will take us a long way. Like we give, for our umrah we make, if we made some mistakes, or our hajj we made some mistakes, and everyone, hopefully we give something extra, or mistakes which we don't know. I think I made a perfect hajj, a perfect umrah, but of course it is all faulty what we make. So we give some charity for that, inshallah, and by that Allah will become happy and overlook all the wrong that we have done. So anyway, so our rozas also we keep, and this is a very important aspect in our whole life, that this, never must this thought come that I'm better than somebody else. And how easily it comes. Shaitan is working on us. We look at other people, and the sign of this is like that. If we have to ask somebody who is a little bit conscious, he'll say, no, I'm the worst. But when we are talking, we are always finding fault in other people. So that is a sign. If we're finding fault in others, we're not finding fault in ourselves. It's a sign that we're thinking, I'm all right. Others are at fault. At the moment, with all this, Allah save us for what is happening in the world, we are all the time finding fault with other people. And that also, for example, with the rulership of Saudi, we find fault with them. And we do nothing like that. Not even a dua we make for them. And we're just talking about it. And this is also false in ghibat. Unnecessary. We are talking, and we are talking of other people. How many other places in the world, whatever, these are the enemies of Islam. They like this. And we don't make dua for their hidayat. We make dua for their destruction. That is also, that it is permitted for those who are really the enemies to make dua for them. But dua for them is permitted. But why don't we make dua for them? Allah make them the heroes of Islam. As they are the enemies of Islam, Allah make them the champions of Islam. And Allah can do that. So we should make that. Or at least, whatever we can do in our circles, somebody is doing something wrong, we'll go and talk about it. We won't go and tell that person. If we go and tell him, there is some hope in a suitable way, that whichever way, if I can't approach him, then I don't just tell any and everyone about it, but somebody who I feel who can do something about it. We tell that person that if you can speak to this person, that he corrects his namaz, whatever wrong he's doing, or to say it in such a way, in a general way, so that we can learn our lesson. But what we normally do, we are just talking about it. And we fall into ghibat, slandering, and many times it is false accusations also. And all these are bigger gunas than ghibat itself. And ghibat is such a big guna, worse than zina. And zina is such a terrible guna. The punishment of it is so terrible. We cringe at the thought of zina. And these gunas are even worse than that. But we don't feel anything about it. And we take pride in talking about the other, about the wrongs of people. So this is also one very important aspect for our roza. and our Ramadan to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala, that after doing a perfect, as much as far as we could, Roza, Ramadan, all our ibadat, then not to feel proud about it, and not to feel I'm better than somebody else. On one occasion, our Shaykh visited our Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahib, and told him that I've heard that you have made a lot effort on Quran Sharif, and you brought Quran Sharif alive in this part of the world, where there were no Huffaz also. And we also know when we were young, most of the masjid, 90%, very few masjids also, but most of them, Alam Tara Taraweeh. There was no Taraweeh of Quran Sharif. And where there was, even the Alam Tara, the recitation was very weak, and namaz also, and very few people also. But with Hazrat Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's efforts, how lot Huffaz. And today, his students may open Hafiz classes, and how many more Hafizes. And then the quality of the reading also, which has improved so tremendously. So he said, yeah, I believe you, how many Hafizes did you made? He asked Hafiz Sahib. Hafiz Sahib instantly told him, that I will know in the Qabr. That what is accepted by Allah, that is how many I made. Which are not accepted, that is nothing. Haba Mansura is just nothing whatsoever. What is accepted. So we also, after we have kept the Roza, we will only know in the Qabr, Akhirat, that what the condition of our dindari was, our namazes, our rozas, and a person whose report didn't come out, and is already giving parties and celebrating, and is already buying a car, and that I'm going to, I've passed, I got my certificate. One person who graduated from university, and he was opening up his business, so he's setting up everything. So the telephone people came and they wanted to connect his telephone. So they told, we have come here. So he spoke, he was speaking on the, giving them the impression, I'm very busy, and speaking of big, big figures. That this deal is so much, that is so much, big, big figures. Then afterwards, and he kept them up half an hour, 1 hour, when they came, so can I help you? He thought he has impressed them. They said, we are from the telephone department and we have come to connect your phone. He had no connection, he was just speaking. Really, Haba Mansura, he was speaking. So that is how we think. I got so much rozas, I got so much namazes, I did so much work of deen, etc. Even people accepted Islam at my hand. Is it accepted by Allah or not? And that is the thing. And just like friends also ask, how can we know Allah is happy with us? With absolute certainty, nobody can know. And the correct route our mashayikh teach us, all the time we must be apprehensive. And what a beautiful dua in the Hadith Sharif, وَلَكَ الْعُطْعُطْبَ حَتَّى تَرْضَى. Oh Allah, I will keep on pleading with you to be pleased with me till you become pleased with me. We don't know. So we have to have that fear. Signs of it, ulama have written, we made our zuhr, Allah gave us tawfiq of asr. It's a sign our zuhr is accepted. We make maghrib now, it's a sign that our asr is accepted. And Allah is giving us tawfiq, this is a sign. Whom Allah wants to show mercy on the day of qiyamah, He gives them the tawfiq of amal in this dunya. Dunya, that amal are not a guarantee, it's a sign that inshallah Allah is going to show His mercy on you. So we hope from Allah, and we must not lose hope in Allah Ta'ala at all. Though we are weak, I'm the worst, but if I look at myself, I must be right down. When I look at the mercy of Allah, I must have full hope that Allah Ta'ala will show His great mercies to me. In that way, a person won't be despondent, he won't have depression, a person won't have pride also, and he'll be working all the time. For example, that is usually given, you take a ball and you throw it up in the air. Depending with so many factors, it depends how high that ball will go. But anyway, it's going up. But it reaches a certain level and it doesn't stay there. And it comes down faster than what it went up also. So the same way, if we also, we are going up, and the minute we feel that now I've reached my place, whether it is Allah Ta'ala guide us all, And many times this wrong advice also is given. That for example, an old person, now you can take it easy. You kept rosas for 50, 60 years, you made namazes. Now you can take it, but you can make your namaz at home now. Now rosas, even without excuse, you're an old man now, old lady. And how many people, and we also feel like in dunya we want to retire. In deen, there is no retirement. And the famous saying of the Jamaat, when you retire, they will hire you. You retire from your dunya, Jamaat will hire you. You start doing Jamaat, we can't retire. As far as deen is concerned, and even dunya, one big mistake many people make is they retire, never retire. Allah made it, your body, your brain, everything has to work all the time. And this is hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Till maut comes, keep on. Lessen it, make it in a different direction, in a different way. But just to sit idle, and now just to what we think I'm going to enjoy life, you are destroying yourself. And perhaps in the process you destroy your akhirat also. So all the time, our islah also, there is no level that you can say that my islah is made. Till maut comes. And Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written that a person, that shaitan makes effect on a person that he must lose his iman. He makes effort until the ruh comes right till the throat. Till that time, the ruh starts going out from the toes, and then it comes up, and then it goes out finally from the mouth. Till that time, shaitan is making effort. So, and great, great people, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Fakhruddin Razi, what great people. Right till the end, they were all shaitan, they were fighting with shaitan. That shaitan is telling them, you got saved from me. All of these people. So we have to be very careful, and we have to make and worry of our islah. Never ever think, never talk in such a way. Even after we spend our 10 days, our 40 days, and we go back to back home, not with a holier than thou attitude. Not go there and start fighting with everyone, finding fault with everyone. And now we have become big peer subs, and we have become big muftis and big awliya. And the way we're speaking to them, as though they are in the gutters, etc. That is not at all how it should be. We should all this is ibadat. Our islah is also ibadat. Ramadan is ibadat. Namaz is ibadat. And the word ibadat, abdiyat, from where it comes, the more ibadat a person comes, the more humble he must become. Ibadat is to humble himself. Not that we become proud now, that I'm a great abid, and I do this, and I've achieved that. No, ibadat is to bring abdiyat in a person. The more ibadat we make, the more humble we must be. The more sajdas we are making, the more we bow down, rukus, and we are kneeling, and we are going on the ground, that should bring more humbleness in us. And if this is bringing pride in us, then it's not that namaz we were making. It was the outward form of namaz. But it was really something that was taking us away from Allah Ta'ala. That roza, and if that roza brought pride in us, then that roza wasn't really a roza of the Shariat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was something else that we have done. So Allah Ta'ala brings us humility and humbleness and all the time. And this also, as our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained, instead of being humble, a person is haughty. He's shows his anger and pride he's got in him. And anger he shows. One is, Maulana Abdul Hanipul Puri Rahmatullah Ali says, this only comes to people who are really stupid people. Anger comes to such a person. Pride comes to otherwise a person who has got a little bit of sense, there is no room for any pride in that person. No room to become angry on somebody. So this Hazrat explains, and this anger, it makes a big fool out of the person who is angry. He thinks I'll show my strength and my power by showing I'm angry. Sometimes a person is not even angry, and this happens a lot in families. Especially it becomes more to the fore when inheritance matters have to be sorted out. And anyone asks for their right, then that person just raises his voice, starts shouting, so all the others keep quiet. And he thinks, I've got all under control, because me, I just shout 2-3 swears I give. Everyone keeps quiet, especially the women folk, the sisters who are so dear. With how much of fondness and muhabbat you grew up, but now you want to control the family with this authoritative attitude of yours. So this is all that anger is making a big fool out of you. And how is this? That Hazrat explains that a person, whom does he become angry? On a person that he thinks who is under him, who is lower than him. He'll never become angry on somebody who is higher than him. Well, for example, Hazrat gives the example, you are very angry and you are telling your wife, I'll make mincemeat out of you. Nothing will be left of you. And the way he's talking and handling his wife, but suddenly there's a knock on the door. When he looks through the peephole or whatever, and he sees it's his two brothers-in-law. And both of them are in the army, in the police force. And they are with their guns at that time. Now suddenly, where the anger is gone, and he pleads with his wife, you know, ups and downs we all have, just forget about this. He just, I'm a moody person, you know my moods, I'm bipolar, and it just happens to me. Suddenly it's gone, where that anger, which was so much, you were prepared to do what and what, but suddenly where it vanished. So it is makes a big fool out of you. The same thing, this pride. Pride is illegitimate, and anger is the illegitimate of an illegitimate. So how illegitimate isn't it? So a person who feels that I kept rosas and I am pious now is the height of the stupidity of a person. It's only on Qiyamah's day, not only in the qabr also, on Qiyamah's day when a person has passed, and that also when he has entered Jannah. One time we had a Palestinian Jamaat, and we were sitting and talking, and one of them explained that ghibat, backbiting, we were discussing about being conscious of these things. Says a person, a riwayat that he came across, will be crossing Pul Sirat, he'll have covered 70% of Pul Sirat. Now he's almost at the end, and he'll enter Jannah. And then there, because of backbiting, he'll fall down at that place. After crossing 70% of Pul Sirat. And who of us are free of backbiting? Which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi laments, even the gatherings of the pious and the righteous are not free of backbiting. And today backbiting takes place everywhere. Yes, sitting on the mimbar, giving bayan, and we are also in some way backbiting about somebody. We're opening the faults of people. This has become so common. So this backbiting and all these gunas, they also, it comes in the riwayat, people who will be about to enter the doors of Jannah, they will sink in the ground. And this was, they gave deception to people, showing that they are pious when they were not pious. So now Allah will say, now you are about to enter, now you will see your deception which comes out. So we are not safe till we have entered Allah's fadl. Once you have entered Jannah, Alhamdulillah alladhi azhaba anna al-hazan. Then we can say, Allah, you took away all the worries. And it's not an easy road till Jannah. And if we can become conscious and conscious for ourselves that I have to worry, and how much we are fighting amongst ourselves, backbiting amongst slandering, rumor mongering, what a terrible, terrible gunas, worst terrible gunas we are involved in. So this is the month that we correct that part also. That after keeping the roza of the eyes also, roza of the tongue, of the ears, mind and heart also, roza of the stomach also, make sure our food also, with regard to the food that we eat, we should be also very conscious what type of food we eat. As we had mentioned, today it has become very, very easy that we just buy from anywhere. On one occasion, with our programs, we were in Lanesia, In one of the masjids, there was pamphlet on the board, and I just couldn't make head or tail out of it. What is it about? So I asked somebody. So they told me that it has become common today. Today everything is online, and everything is on the phone. So people order food from an outlet, whichever outlet it is, which they are satisfied that it is halal. They are satisfied that it is halal. Whether it is or not is a different thing. But they are satisfied this is halal. And all these outlets, sometimes they can't meet the order. For whatever reason, they are short-staffed, they don't have the things in stock, whatever. And they got agreement with their other outlets. And they just inform them, we've got this order, if you will deliver there. And they don't see whether it is halal or haram. Even just the outward standard, they don't look. They just, whichever one it is. And then that company will deliver to you on this company's name. And you are satisfied that your company, which you feel you are satisfied, they are halal. But somebody else has delivered. So it was on the board, I was surprised. So we have to be so careful today. Everything, our shopping is today online. And deliveries take place. So the food we eat, we should be very, very careful. When we were young, and we were studying in Mias Farm, Bhatifal Islamic Institute, on our Ustad, the extra little business he should make to slaughter fowls and sell. And we were young, so we should enjoy to go and slaughter the fowls. We get an opportunity to come out, go to Joburg, deliver the fowls everywhere. So we should do it with great enthusiasm. The place where we used to go and slaughter, then there was a person from Johannesburg, a Muslim man, he should also come to slaughter. So we were slaughtering and we saw that his worker was a non-Muslim, he was slaughtering. So we asked him that he's slaughtering. He said, how much must I slaughter? I get tired. And that is when he's slaughtering about 50 chickens, 30 chickens, not 100. We didn't reach that figure. And today when on that line when they are slaughtering, by what numbers they are slaughtering? How is that person all the time saying Bismillah Allahu Akbar, Bismillah Allahu Akbar? It's impossible for that to happen. But anyway, this is a person in your locality, your neighborhood. You know him, Musa Bay, Ibrahim Bay, Yusuf Bay. He's our man. And he's bringing the fowl and supplying you. What doubt is in there? So how careful don't we have to be? Though the guna won't be there, but the effect will be there. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that if you took laxative by mistake, and you even had to die in it, you won't get the guna that you committed suicide. But the effect of running to toilet all the time, that effect is going to take place. So the food we eat, and we are convinced that it is all right, it's above board, the guna inshallah won't be there. But the effect of that food, that is going to be there. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So anyway, this holier than thou attitude, being conceited and being self, that I am good, I did everything, that we should have that fear all the time. And we should be always apprehensive, is Allah happy with me? Am I amal accepted or not? Never carry on like a person who is 100% all, I am above board and I am pious. In that we should be very careful, our outward appearance deceives us a lot. That Allah gave us tawfiq, we got deeni appearance now. And we think I'm alright. Our titles deceive us a lot. That I'm a Maulana, I'm a Hafiz Sahab, I'm a Qari Sahab, I'm a Jamaati worker, I'm a Sufi Sahab, I'm in the Khanqa. Just that title, that also deceives us a lot. The reality of it has to be there. Even if the title is not there, but the reality is there. That is what is required by Allah. So Allah give us tawfiq and to keep this perfect roza. And part of the perfect roza is that we realize it's an imperfect roza. If we realize it's a perfect roza, then that is imperfect. If we realize it's an imperfect roza, hopefully Allah will count it as a perfect roza. So we have to be conscious. And when I realize it's an imperfect roza, I won't think I'm better than other people. I won't think I'm a pious person. And this will help us to go to further heights. And if I think I'm pious and I reach my goal, we won't stay there, we'll drop and we'll drop faster than what we went up also. A person who thinks himself to be pious, jo apne aap ko mustaqil bhi zaat samajhta hai, a person think I'm somebody, wo mustaqil bad zaat hota hai. That person is the worst person. Whenever any person, it can be whoever, what top qualifications and titles we have and what the people might think of us, but I think I'm the one in there. That is the worst person. So, and the minute you think you are somebody, you drop down. So Allah give us the perfect roza, which is that we realize we are imperfect. My roza is imperfect. My namaz is imperfect. And at the same time that I still work and I have to work till maut in order to perfect it. Yeah, again, we differ from people of dunya where they feel that if you can't make it, then give it up. We feel you can't make it, you try harder. That we have to try harder all the time. And we keep on trying. May Allah give us tawfiq. And may Allah show His special mercies and kindness upon us.